you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Philippians with me, please, in chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Thank you for being here tonight. I know that as far as the number goes, we're not where we normally are, but I tell you this, as far as the Holy Spirit, He's the same every day.
Amen.
Our Savior's the same every day. And He said, where two or three are gathered in My name, there will I be in the midst of them. Let's invite Him into our midst tonight, just to fellowship around the Word of God for just a few moments. I want to ask you tonight, this is the way God spoke to my heart in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians. What do you think causes a pastor to be thankful? What do you think causes a pastor to be thankful? And I want to tell you this tonight. I think you already know it, but this year has been hard on pastors. I'm not asking you to look this way, just look around. I'm telling you, think about what you've heard and what churches are going through and what pastors are going through. But I tell you tonight, the Apostle Paul in verse 3 of chapter 1, these words jumped out at me. I've known them for years, but just I thank my God. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God. It's personal to Paul. And I want to look at just a few things here in the chapter tonight that caused this man of God, he's writing from prison, and you know, if something don't turn around, I know people don't, I really think they don't take to heart what I'm saying right here, but if something don't turn around in our nation, there could come a day when God's men will go to jail for preaching this book. And I just hope, Brother Rick, if that day comes, I can count it all joy. Amen. And I mean, I don't know that they'll beat us the way they did the New Testament church till we're back black and blue and beat and bleeding. But I do believe if something don't turn around in our country, in our world, that there could come a day again when God's men would be in trouble if they refuse to compromise the message of God's word. And Paul is writing to the church here. And he says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, and I love this, to all the saints. Paul didn't make a difference in the saints. He wrote to all of them.
Yeah.
And I think it's always a disservice to the gospel and to the cause of Christ if we have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. All the saints. I'm sure that the church at Philippi, which is like any other church, there are probably people in that church that had great means. Probably people in that church that probably just had what they had on their back. That's all they had. But Paul said, I want to write a letter to all the saints. And I want all of them to know, when I think about them, I thank God for them. Is that that way in your life? Amen. You know, I think it should be that way in our lives. It shouldn't matter whether we came to church in a Cadillac, amen, or a Volkswagen. It shouldn't matter if we came to church in rags or if we came to church in a new suit. I'm telling you, Jesus loves us tonight. And Paul said, I want to thank God for him. He said, the saints in Christ Jesus, which are Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And I think it's interesting, I just picked up on that he named the saints before he named the bishops and the deacons. Don't you think that's interesting? I'm going to tell you something right now. Bishops and deacons that love God, they like it that way. But bishops and deacons that are in it for themselves and their name, say amen, they would want to be listed first. But Paul got it right. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Pray with me just a moment. I'll give you three things tonight. Don't get excited. There's three things under all these three things. But anyway, I want to give you some things tonight that I believe will be a help. Father, thank you tonight for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the church at Philippi. Thank you how they loved him, Lord. They didn't turn their back on him just because he was in jail. And Lord, I thank you that our Father, that it don't matter what we go through or have to go through, we'll never go through it alone. You'll always be with us, our Father. The saints of God are precious. They were precious to the Apostle Paul. When he said, I thank my God, Lord, how that spoke to my heart as we looked at it. I pray, God, that you'll help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going through the chapter a little bit backwards, but I think I want to kind of tackle it in the order that it happens in our lives, not the order that it happens in the chapter. Let me give it to you tonight. First of all, turn over to verse 27. He said, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together. Here's the first point in the message, the faith, for the faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel. And I'm going to give you three things tonight in the chapter. We're going to look at the faith of the gospel, the fellowship in the gospel, and then the furtherance of the gospel. But I believe if you don't get first base right, the faith of the gospel, then these other things will never be right. They'll never fall in line. They'll never fall in order. I've given this illustration before. I'm not sure if I have in this church. But if you know anything about baseball, I wish Chance was here tonight. He knows a lot about baseball. But if you know anything about baseball, as somebody can actually hit a home run, hit it over the fence, but they're still required to run the bases. And somebody could go around through there and miss first base and go around and hit second and hit third and then come on the plate and the hole, everybody's erupted with joy. He hit a home run. He hit it over the fence. And then the pitcher goes back to the mound. It's required to be done this way. He's got the ball. And they make an appeal. And they throw the ball to first base. And that man is out. What they thought was a home run and what they were rejoicing over, because a person missed first base, ends up being an out. Now that might not happen very often, but here's what I'm going to tell you. I think there's a lot of people going to miss heaven because they missed first base. They miss being born again. They miss the faith of the gospel. They're trying to, Brother Steve, fellowship in the gospel. They're trying to further the gospel, but they've never been born again of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, where is there any scripture like that? Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many marvelous works in thy name, prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? I may not have got that in exactly the right order. But he will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, or ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. How important it is, beloved, listen, to understand the faith of the gospel, that we've been born again, the blood has been applied, and that we've been saved by the grace of God. Let me give you some things real quick. We need to begin right. The Bible said here, if you look at it in verse number 29, for unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe. You see, that's where it comes from. Remember the Philippian jailer? We're looking at the book of Philippians. But remember the Philippian jailer? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Beloved, the offering was never mentioned. Church attendance was never mentioned. The baptistry was never mentioned. Reading the Bible was never mentioned. Praying was never mentioned. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul is thankful tonight because of the faith of the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen, it's been especially hard on me. I'd love to be in that hospital and be able to hug Sister March, be able just to pray with her and tell her it's going to be all right. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I was there when she and her husband trusted Christ. Jesus was there. The Holy Ghost was there. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's precious when you see somebody experience the faith of the gospel. They begin right. But then it doesn't stop there with just beginning right. I believe they continue right. Notice what the Word of God said here in verse number 25. The Bible said, in having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance of joy and faith. I love this. Brother Danny said this years ago. Brother Danny Sykes, I've never forgotten it. He said, if you believe right, you'll behave right. And I believe that's what the Scripture teaches. Amen. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Amen. But if you have the right kind of faith, if you get started right, then it'll cause you to behave right. That's why the Bible could say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe it's important, don't you? That's why Paul could say of the church at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, honey, if he started it, he'll finish it. Mark it down. If he didn't start it, it won't get finished. But if he started that work in you and in me, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I like that, don't you? Look at verse 21 quickly. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I want you to turn to Romans 7 for just a moment. I think this is important. I think sometimes when we're talking about the faith of the gospel, we put the emphasis on the person believing. But beloved, we need to put the emphasis on the message that's believed. And the Lord Jesus is the one that we believe upon, that we trust with our soul. The Bible said here in verse number 18, I believe is what I want to look at, in verse number 18 of chapter number 7, Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Listen to me tonight. You'd be surprised how many church-going people don't know that. I'm telling you something tonight, beloved. Listen, we get close to the Lord, he'll let us know there's nothing good about us except him. Amen. Paul said, I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You say, Pastor, how does that fit with that verse 21? Paul knew it wasn't him. And beloved, you and I better know it's not us. Brother Steve was talking about being a witness on Thanksgiving. The Lord's going to have to do that through us. I do have some family coming. Some that haven't been in this church that's going to come by. And we are going to love on them, and we're going to try our best. I'm talking about family that I believe is saved, but I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me tonight. I don't know how you can go to work, go to Walmart, and go to gas station, go to the bank, go everywhere else, and not go to the house of God when it's time to go to the house of God. And I believe it's important tonight that we see the faith of the gospel. If we begin right, we'll continue right, then I thank God this, we're going to finish right. Notice what the Word of God said here in verse 23. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. He's talking about staying or leaving. I'm in a strait, he said, betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. And I love those two words, which is far better. I believe tonight anybody that knows this book, anybody that's read Revelation chapter 21, anybody that's read Revelation chapter 22, anybody that's read Revelation chapter number 19, knows that for the children of God, when Jesus comes, it's going to be far better. There'll be none of those double doors in those hospitals like at MD Anderson, Brother Steve. I can still see them, close my eyes and see that surgeon coming out. The precious lady that played the organ in the first church that I pastored, I can still see that surgeon looking down at the floor as he came down and shaking his head. As my sister was eat up with pancreatic cancer, and they gave her no hope. But you know what I did? I went to fasting, went to praying anyway, and trusting God. I'd like to tell you she got better. She didn't down here, but I tell you she got better. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, she took her right out of here on into home. And it was far better, and it will be for all the children of God. I see the faith of the gospel. No wonder Paul said, I thank my God. Aren't you glad tonight that you've believed on the Lord Jesus? Aren't you glad that you've put your trust in him? And you're not putting your trust in a pastor or in a church or in a creed, but in the Christ of Calvary. Amen. That's where our trust is tonight, the faith of the gospel. Secondly, tonight, let's look at the fellowship in the gospel. The Word of God said here, I read that in your hearing a moment ago, in verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now listen, you might not get a hold of this tonight. This is real to me tonight. Gary Turbefield, I'd have never met you if it hadn't been for the cross of Christ, brother. Our fellowship tonight is in the gospel. There was no fellowship without the gospel. Brother Steve, I'd have never met you and your precious wife apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Brother Rose, we'd have never crossed paths if it hadn't been for the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, Pastor, why would you get excited about it? We ought to. Hallelujah. It was the cross that brought us together. And it's the cross that'll keep us together. Amen. Until Jesus comes after us. Amen. The fellowship in the gospel. A lot of times when Baptists say fellowship, all they're thinking about is a plate with sideboards on it. But I'm telling you, beloved, the only real fellowship we have is in the blessed Holy Ghost that took up His abode in our hearts when we got saved by the grace of God. And we fellowship in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you some things tonight. Number one, look at, well, this is number one under number two. Y'all know how to do this by now, don't you? Surely you do, amen. If you're taking notes, it'll make sense. If you ain't, you'll get with us after a while. Amen. Watch this now. The fellowship and the gospel. First of all, I want you to see there's peace. The Bible said, grace unto you and peace from God our Father. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I've used Brother Steve as an illustration from time to time because he don't mind. I don't reckon he does. I believe he'd have done told me if he did. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If we break fellowship, listen to me carefully, and there's something going on, I'm going to lose my peace. Listen to me. It's one thing to have peace with God. I got peace with God through the cross. Beloved, that's settled. Amen. But if you're going to have the peace of God, you say, Pastor, you ain't got no Bible for that. How about this? When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Boy, I didn't understand that. I watched my daddy growing up. And I thought people took advantage of my daddy. I thought people treated my daddy in a way that was disrespectful. And I watched my daddy be kind. I watched my daddy do what the Word of God said. Heap coals of fire on their head, amen, by being good to them, amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, I'll begin to, as Brother Steve talked about getting a little older, he's getting a little older, I'm getting a lot older, but I begin to learn some things, amen, that Daddy knew some things that I didn't know nothing about, amen. He said, well, the heathen are good to people that's good to them. God said for us to be good to people whether they're good to us or not, amen. And thank God we have a fellowship in the gospel that produces a peace, not just the peace with God through being saved, but the peace of God through serving Him and obeying Him. Then I think we can have peace in our heart. I think we can have peace in our home. And I think we can have peace in the house of God. Amen. When we have that fellowship in the gospel. Then I give you this. Not only was there peace as evidence of that fellowship, but there was prayer. Look at verse 3 and 4. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Do we really have fellowship if we don't pray one for another? That's a good question, isn't it? I'm telling you, Paul said, always, once in a while, and what he said is, he said, in every prayer of mine. I'm going to tell you something. You say, Pastor, why is that way? If you look at verse number 7, even as meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Ain't that good? Paul had his people, even though he's in jail, he had them in his heart. And it brought about they're being called out in prayer. Look at verse 9 down through verse number 11. And this I pray, Paul said, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled. This is some prayer, is it not? Paul is praying. He said, I want your love to abound more and more. In other words, don't be satisfied where you are. Let's grow in our love one for another. He said, I want it to abound more and more in knowledge and judgment. He said, that you may approve things that are excellent. Be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's a tall order for any of us. But the man of God is praying that for the church at Philippi. Look at verse 11. He said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto glory and the praise of God. I see church signs sometimes that bother me. I saw one a while ago that I liked. It was over at Good Shepherd, over where Brother Rob pastors. Here's what it said. Are you going to be thankful or just full? I like that. Hey, a whole lot of people this coming Thursday ain't going to be nothing but full. I'm going to tell you something right now. How the fellowship of the gospel. I'm praying. I know we're down tonight in number, but I'm praying, thank God, that we'll, listen, understand what we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this now. Works both ways. Not only is the man of God praying for the church, but I want to show you the church is praying for the man of God. Look at verse number, I think it's 19. Let me see if I can find my notes here. This looks like something Brother Brian Odell wrote down. Verse 19. Look at verse number 19. He said, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through what? Your prayer. The man of God wasn't only praying for the church, but he had confidence, Brother David, that the church was praying for him. That they hadn't forgot him. He's over there. He's out of sight. But thank God he's not out of mind. He's not. They are in his heart. And he is in their heart. Isn't that wonderful? All because of the gospel. And I don't say that very often. But every time I say it, I'm reminded of those tapes. Brother Jack said it a lot. Ain't that wonderful? I'm telling you, if you listen to him preach, he said that a lot, didn't he? Amen. And I didn't say it just because he did, but when I do say it, it reminds me of how many times I heard him say it on the tapes. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful? Amen. Boy, y'all ain't near as cheerful as you was when he was preaching. Amen. I'm just kidding you. The faith of the gospel, the fellowship in the gospel. But then I want you to see this. There's the partakers here under the fellowship. Not only there's peace, not only there's prayer, but there's partaker. Look at verse number 7 for just a moment. You'll see what I mean. Paul said, even it's meet for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. You see, they were willing to receive what the Apostle Paul was giving them. And I tell you, that says a lot about the fellowship that they have in the gospel. So let's look at the last thing tonight. We see the faith of the gospel. We see the fellowship in the gospel. Then we see the furtherance of the gospel. I don't know about you, but I love to watch God work. We're riding to church, and I'm not trying to pat anybody on the back. But my wife said to me two weeks ago maybe, said, honey, you think maybe we could, since we can't visit like we normally do, you think maybe we could hang some things on the door? You say, where'd that come from? Well, you can think it came from Miss Eve. I think it came from heaven. I think God just gave us a little idea that we could further the gospel. Y'all believe the gospel should be furthered? You believe go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every creature? Do you believe that's still for us today, the New Testament church? I do too. I do too. So Paul said, let me give you the verse here, if I can find it. I think it's verse number 12. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. It reminds me of Joseph. You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good. Paul is realizing here that he didn't just say it in the book of Romans, but it's true. all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm in jail, but I don't have the mully grubs. I realize that God is doing a work, and I think Joseph was the same way. If you'll read the book of Genesis, when Joseph went down there to the jail, the jailer, it didn't take him long, brother. He saw God's hand was on it. He just turned it all over to him in the jail, everywhere he went. The Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord was with Joseph. How long do you think the Apostle Paul was in jail before the jailer and the people in the jail knew there's something different about that fella? And he realized it was an opportunity to further the gospel of Christ. We need to be looking for those opportunities, don't we? He said, happened unto me, falling out rather to the further of the gospel in verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. What a testimony tonight from the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. I want to give you three things quickly and we're done. We'll go home and have Thanksgiving. I'm going to go home. You say, Pastor, you act like you're happy. There's a problem with that statement. I'm not acting. I'm happy to see my babies. Including Charity. She listened to the tape a little while back. She said, I like that part. What was it I said? Don't tell Charity. She said, I like that part. Don't tell Charity. See what you done, Brother Richard? Can't get by with nothing. Anything. This English teacher is killing me. Amen. She told me the other day that her strong suit's really not English. I'm glad I don't have to do math in this pulpit. That's all I can tell you. Amen. Amen. If I can find the right chapter and verse, that's all the math I need while I'm up here. Amen. We were teaching the teens Sunday. We both got it wrong, didn't we, honey? She said it was 137 fish. I said it was 127. She said it's 137. And we looked it up in the Bible, Brother Rick, is 153. We were both wrong. Amen. We're trying to bring that out over there where Jesus told them to cast their nets on the right side. I don't know where 127 or 137 come from. It didn't come from this Bible. Amen. The furtherance of the gospel. Give you three things quickly. In spite of the bonds, the gospel was furthered. So many times in our life, I believe what we see in adversity is the obstacle instead of the opportunity. I'll say this. I know this, and I don't believe my brother, he's in heaven, would mind me saying it. I was with him at times when he was overcome by the obstacle. And I was with him at other times when I was overcome by the opportunity that he saw in his life. You and I, beloved, tonight, when the bonds come, when the, you know, we're, just think about this last year, the lockdowns and employers and you know, you go to Walmart. Last time I looked, there's more than 10 people at Walmart. Help me tonight. But you can't go to church. Go to Walmart, but you can't go to church. In spite of the bonds, in spite of the affliction, look at verse number 16. The Word of God said, one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. In spite of the bonds, there's affliction, there's adversaries. Look in verse number 28. The Word of God has said, in nothing terrified by your adversary. We better know tonight that our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Steve. He don't want those John Romans hanging on those doors. aren't you glad greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? Beloved, tonight, there's the furtherance of the gospel. In spite of the bonds, secondly, with the help of the brethren, Paul was smart enough to know that he couldn't do it all. You say, Pastor, where did you get that in the text? Look at verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds. Brother Steve, it was like Paul being willing to go to jail for the gospel. It was like putting a shot in their arm. And all of a sudden, there's a boldness about them and a confidence. I'm going to stand up and preach the word of God. Watch it now. Are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul is an unusual man. Most men would say, those fellows that are preaching out of contention and strife and wanting to add affliction to my bonds, get them out of there. Not Paul. Read the next verse with me. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Oh, glory to God. Paul didn't care who was preaching as long as there's preaching Christ. We need to learn tonight. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. A donkey could tell somebody about Jesus and they could get saved. It's the message of the gospel. And Paul realized that. I believe he grinned. Said, they think they're hurting me, but they're preaching Christ. Leave them alone. They're preaching Christ. Leave them alone. I like that, don't you? With help from the brethren. And then by preaching the book, you say, Pastor, what do you mean? In verse number 18, it said, in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Sanctify them through thy word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Christ is preached. The message of Christ needs to be preached. I want to just stop tonight in closing and say, I thank my God. I believe with all my heart, even God's people, sometimes we thank God for our food. We thank God for a roof over our head. We thank God for the clothes on our back. We thank God for our Bible. We thank God we're saved. Amen, Brother Gary. But we need to thank God for one another, for the fellowship that we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Need to thank God. Think about this for just a moment. We ask you to pray for those families. One lady was in her upper 50s. That family's missing a mom. Upper 50s, probably a grandmother. Three of the ladies were in their upper 70s. One man was 81 years old. That's somebody's papaw, Brother David. Somebody's daddy. Won't be there this Thanksgiving. And I'm telling you, the people that made the decisions or the person that made the decisions to make this possible, if they had any gumption about them at all, would resign. There's 12 young'uns. I think sometimes we have a hard time bringing it home, Brother Rick. The one that was Sawyer laying in critical condition tonight somewhere in a hospital. Don't know if he's going to live or die. Because some idiot. That's being kind. goes from behind in a parade, just mows people down. It's going to get worse. You mark her down. You know what's really strange? I haven't heard anybody call to put Ford out of business. Or take SUVs off of the road. Oh, if it had been a gun involved, you better believe. You know where I'm coming from, don't you? You can take every gun out of America, but you can't take that hatred out of their hearts. They'll kill us with something. Unless their heart's changed. Their heart ain't going to be changed. They need to be put somewhere where they can't hurt people. Amen. Tonight, I thank my God. Thank my God this evening. Brother Bud preached the gospel. For the faith. I thank my God for the fellowship that I have with God's people. Brother Bob Ferguson, I called him today, and brother, we fellowshiped for 15, 20 minutes on the phone, and then called his son. I said, blame this call on your daddy. Amen. And we fellowshiped a while. There's people come into this church that aren't a part of the body of Christ here, but the fellowship, it don't take 20 years to get to know somebody who loves Jesus. Ain't that good? Amen. The fellowship and the gospel. And then the furtherance of the gospel. You glad you come tonight? I appreciate you coming. I really do.